the Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon to 3.
On Hot Dog Drive. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Who said there's not a smidgen of corruption? Who said that, Commissioner?
My understanding is that was the President.
It was the President. So that's Jay Carney and the President both inserting themselves into the IRS scandal. And you want to blame us? For bringing the White House into it?
I haven't blamed you at all.
You just did, Commissioner. You just did.
Well, it's a good argument.
This song is dedicated to all of our 42,000 underwear wearers from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. I understand there's 42,000 pairs of underwear being ordered by the government for the children. Men's underwear, some extra large. 42,000. Turn the song off. I would translate the song into Spanish. I ran all the way home. Maybe we could encourage them that once they get their new underwear, they can run all the way home. Because if you think that this is not the importation of a foreign army, you're out of your mind. An army of Democrat voters, an army of Democrat operatives, an army of Acorn workers, or worse, border mess, homeland underwear crisis, says the Drudge Report. Urgently need 42,000 pairs of underwear. You may say this is a joke. I don't know if it's a joke. Why would the Department of Homeland Security put out an order to buy men's underwear, some of it in very large size, if they're all little children? I have the order in front of me. The DHS Immigration and Customs Enforcement requires the following items, purchase description determined by line item, to the following. 600 dozen medium men's briefs, 100% cotton. And then you go down to the bottom, and I'm not making this up, 4X large per dozen. 400 dozen, 5X large per dozen, 300 dozen, 6X large per dozen, 200 dozen of these. That's for men's underwear by a law enforcement agency. Instead of sending them home, instead of flying them home, instead of busing them home, instead of putting them on a train home, they're giving them underwear and sending them around America. Do you understand what can be at stake here? By the way, these pairs of underwear are destined for El Paso, Texas. This would be humorous if we were in a state where it was humorous, but it's frightening. And what I want to point out here is that as important as the IRS scandal is and as much fun as you're having watching that arrogant man from the IRS basically spit on the Republicans questioning him, or the woman from the IRS sneering at the Republicans, you're having a good time, but you're ignoring the border swarm and the underwear crisis at the border. And that's exactly how Axelrod wants it. He floods you with one crisis after another. And so while the Republicans are rightly outraged at the IRS scandal and the missing emails, guess what's going on? They're flooding America with illegal aliens. They're not children. Certainly there are children and women. But there's an awful lot of men involved who need underwear that we're providing. 24,000 pair of underwear for the illegal aliens being brought in by Obama, Holder, and the head of Homeland Security. Why are they bringing them in? It's a very big story. One side note to the IRS commissioner, the former commissioner, John Koskinen, and a lot's been said about him on other radio shows, but here's something that everyone missed. Being a trained researcher, I did some research on John Koskinen, who is the 48th IRS commissioner. And you probably heard all of this about him, but what I'm going to tell you, you didn't hear. Did you know that he was formerly non-executive chairman of Freddie Mac from September 08 to December 2011? You remember Freddie Mac? Remember Freddie May? Remember the housing meltdown that brought us Obama? He was the non-executive chairman of Freddie Mac from 08 to 2011. Do you remember the housing crisis? On April 23rd, 2009, he became the principal financial officer at Freddie Mac after the death of Freddie Mac's acting CFO. Did you know that? In August of 2009, with the hiring of a new CEO, he returned to his position as non-executive chairman of the board of Freddie Mac. Now, why should that matter to you? Well, it should matter to you because it's so seamlessly interconnected to the string pullers who gave us Obama. Because I have said in several of my books that the housing crisis was manufactured by the government. The housing crash was manufactured by the government. And as a result, we saw what happened in this country. People went for an unknown senator who promised hope and change and honesty. And look what we got instead. We got the most dysfunctional, dishonest, etc. government in American history. And, of course, the most corrupt in American history. And I stand by those words. So while we're focused on the IRS and this man, we're ignoring the border swarm and the underwear crisis. How do you feel about the underwear crisis? How do you feel about ICE soliciting for 24,000 pairs of men's underwear for the illegal immigrants? Does that jive with the lies coming out of the mouths of Obama and his minions that these are just women and children from Guatemala and El Salvador? Is it not odd for you that many of this underwear is of large size, large, extra large, large and extra large? Would two-year-old children be wearing extra large men's 100% cotton men's briefs? See, they have to have 100% cotton because nothing is too good for an illegal alien. Now, it may be that your uncle waited at the VA for several years to get some treatment and they wouldn't have given him 100% cotton men's briefs. They probably would have given him something made of polyester. But for an immigrant, oh, it's got to be 100% cotton. 855-407-282 is the phone number. I also want to talk about the fake scandal about Gary Oldman's alleged comments, because I was also tricked by Playboy magazine years ago. Update: actor Gary Oldman blasts liberals, defends Mel Gibson, Alec Baldwin. Defends Mel Gibson, Alec Baldwin. It's a huge story from the media. I know it's not as, you know, important as the border in Iraq and Christians being raped and killed by ISIS, the head-cutting animals that we suddenly are talking about with such sanctity. But apparently Playboy is about to release an interview with a fine actor named Gary Oldman. I never met him. And he's being slammed for saying things that his agent just sent me an email, said he didn't actually say. Variety says Gary Oldman blasts liberal Hollywood, defends Mel Gibson and Alec Baldwin. And it's by Dave McNary, film reporter for Variety. It's an interview with the July-August issue of Playboy. And in the interview, Gary Oldman, to his credit, attacks the loser Bill Maher, the faker Jon Stewart, and the deceiver House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. And he's very angry at the fact that the loser Bill Maher and the faker Jon Stewart can get away with disgusting words about Americans and Americanism, while anyone who dares say the opposite is either thrown out of Hollywood or whatnot. They say that Oldman also expressed sympathy for Gibson, where he said Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. That's what Gibson allegedly said. And Variety says that Oldman has sympathy for Gibson. The fact of the matter is I'm on record having sympathy for Gibson as well. I didn't have sympathy for him saying things like that, but he made a mistake. He was drunk. So what if he felt that? He should be killed for it? As I said to you, wouldn't you like to have a hidden microphone in the White House during one of Obama's parties? Wouldn't you like to hear what some of the rap stars say while they're stoned in the Lincoln bedroom? Wouldn't you like to have a secret microphone in Eric Holder's office chambers while he's having a private meeting with Obama? So people say horrible things in private, and I don't think, therefore, you should destroy their careers for what they may utter while they're drunk or while they are caught on tape saying them. Because if so, by that standard, all of us would be guilty. And so that's why I supported Mel Gibson at that time. He's a fabulous actor and director, incidentally. And the reason that Gibson was cast out of Hollywood was not so much because of his racist rants. I think it's because he did a movie on Jesus that was very successful without Hollywood's backing. I think they never forgave him for doing a movie about Jesus that was so profoundly moving, by the way. And so I want to go on to these topics, and I want to go on to the Gary Oldman comments, because I think he needs to be defended in the same manner. I think that Gary Oldman is going to be ripped apart by the vermin in the media, and the Playboy interview will be out shortly. I want to remind you, in June of 2010, she's pretty good looking on the cover. I have the cover here of the 2010 Playboy where I was interviewed. They don't even mention me on the front cover. Boo-hoo. But if you flip the magazine open, some people have collected this, a collector's item. If they get through the ads, and here we are. Oh, there's Teddy. It says, this is what I didn't like. It says, you'll either hurl this issue at the wall or join the Tea Party after reading our aggravating, brilliant Playboy interview with Michael Savage, the talk show host whose daily radio show has an estimated 10 million listeners. There's no argument about Savage's ability to engage and provoke. Remember, don't shoot the messenger. That would be us. So that's what Playboy said about me. And what's disturbing about it is that the creep who interviewed me, David Hockman, spent 16 hours with me. And he acted like the nicest guy on the planet. I remember having him in my houses. And we talked. And listen what this backstabbing piece of journalism wrote at the top of the Michael Savage Playboy interview. It says, a candid conversation with conservative talk radio's most extreme voice, blah, blah, blah. And it says, contributing editor David Hockman spent more than 16 hours interviewing Savage. Says Hockman, quote, I can't remember a more difficult interview. Savage was a fine host, but his opinions are extreme to the point of being poison. Much of the time, I hated him. Now, by the way, when he was with me, he never said he hated a word I said. He made believe he was my friend, as a good slimy liberal would do. He went on to say, he's maddeningly bullheaded and closed-minded. I guess that's me. But he was just as leery of me. Even when we were laughing, I knew he was thinking liberal vermin media. Yes, David, you've proven yourself to be liberal vermin media. Yes, David, you are liberal vermin media. Yes, David, one day you'll wake up and realize that you've destroyed America with your liberalism. So I'm going to read the Playboy interview in a moment or later on in the show, but I have to get to it. And in order to get to it, I want to play what was done to Gary Oldman today about his forthcoming Playboy interview. It was done on an affiliate in Los Angeles. Let's see. I want to get this exactly right. Where is this? Ruben? Jews don't run Hollywood. I want to see. Here it is. There's a guy named Ruben in Hollywood who has a local television show, and he does a segment on the Gary Oldman thing. And I want you to hear it when I come back. On he claims that Gary Oldman says Jews run Hollywood right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I ran all the way.
Song is dedicated to the 24,000 young men from Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras who need underwear and are being sent across America by Obama's minions. And you think I'm making it up on the underwear because it doesn't make it to your newspaper. We are being overrun by illegal aliens. They're not all women and children. Many of them are grown men disguising themselves as poor teenagers. Many have gang affiliations, according to the Border Patrol, and now we're supplying 42,000 pair of underwear. It says they urgently need 42,000 pair. That's the order. Now, why would you bring in 42,000 men into America from a foreign country if they're not waiting online to become a citizen unless you have a use for them? Why would Axelrod, Obama, Holder, Cecilia Munoz, and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse want to overrun America with illegal aliens? So that's one question. That's why I'm playing I Ran All the Way Home, because if I were in charge, the U.S. military would be on the border. They would all be deported. This never would have happened. That's number one. And whoever let this happen should be tried for crimes against America. Whoever, by the way, you want to get emails, get the emails on the border surge. Get the guy from DHS. Who is this guy? Where'd he come from? He's committing treason. If the man's job is to protect Homeland Security, and he's letting young men, many with gang affiliations, overrun America, then he's committing a criminal act against America. So, you see, this is the problem. The Alinsky Axelrod method is to hit us with one scandal after another. And so while the Republicans are rightly outraged about the IRS scandal, it's old. They're now on to this. They use one scandal to get away with the next. And that's what happens when you have a corrupt regime like Obama is, a corrupt regimentarian. I like regimentarian. I didn't mean to use that. It's good. Regimentarian is pretty good. And then at the same time, we're talking about Hollywood and the Gary Oldman interview in the Playboy magazine. And for your reading pleasure, you can go to michaelsavage.com and you can read my Playboy interview. See, I'm like Alinsky in that regard. Never let an opportunity, a crisis, go by. See, here's a crisis now with a Playboy interview with Gary Oldman. So gives me an opportunity to do what Alinsky did for the left. I'll have you now go look up the Playboy interview with Michael Savage, which is now on michaelsavage.com. See, you can use the tactics of Alinsky on the right. I want to see what it looks like on my website. Hold it. There's Teddy. Here. Okay, bottom left, read the interview with Savage in the New Yorker. Very proud of that. Then Savage Playboy interview. My job is to make people listen. That's a good quote. That's pretty good. And I'm going to read you the interview, the Playboy interview. I wish there was a sound interview of that. I wish I had recorded that when he was in the room. I really do. Oh, God, I don't want to look at the centerfold. I never liked Playboy as a young man. I'm not into this kind of thing. But, I mean, the interview's interesting because they occasionally will do an interesting interview. I was never one of those, like, big deal. I don't like Playboy because Hugh Hefner destroyed man or woman in our time. Look at this. The sexual life of savages is in here on page 72. I had no... You're kidding me. A cartoon. A war photographer thinks he's seen it all until he discovers his own heart of darkness. The sexual life of savages. That's funny. Of course, that's taken from a famous anthropologist, which I had to read in my doctoral work for a PhD. Again, is it that they're ready? I'm just starting. I'm a raconteur. I'm not really a talk show host. I'm a raconteur. Do you understand the difference? A raconteur can talk for a long period of time, but it takes me a while to build. Build. Bilderberg. Build. Build. Bilderberg. You got to build. Build. Build for Bilderberg. You got to swarm. Swarm. Swarm for Bilderberg.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
While the GOP is focused on the IRS scandal, rightly so, and people should go to jail for this, they're ignoring the border swarm right now, where 24,000 pair of underwear is being demanded by the government from contractors for the illegal aliens. Now, why would they need 24,000 pair of men's underwear, many in large size, if they were all little children running away from the horrors of their home nation? Because there's much more to this picture than meets your sleepy eye. And it's frightening to take it to its extreme conclusion, which I'm not going to do for you, because I can't prove that they're planning something that they're not planning. I think it could be something that may accidentally happen. And I want to now focus on a few callers, and then I'm going to go to the Gary Oldman story from the affiliate in Los Angeles. Let's take a couple of callers on the illegal aliens swarming into America because Obama wants them to, and he's breaking the law, by the way, in doing it. WJR in Detroit. Bob, welcome. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, I think taking in these people, human beings, is a way for us to, you know, repent for past wrongs we've done in Central America.
Okay, so what past wrongs did you do in Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras?
Well, look what the CIA did in Guatemala. And
no, I'm saying, what did you do that was wrong? Did you do something wrong in Guatemala?
No, but the country I belong to did.
I see. So you feel you have white guilt for what was done by the CIA. Is that what you're saying?
Did I do something wrong?
No, I'm saying, do you have white guilt for what was done by the CIA in Central America is all I'm asking you.
No, I don't have white guilt, but I have a sense of right and wrong.
Okay, so you're a very righteous man, and you're glad that the illegals are swarming over the border. Why don't you invite a few of them into your own house and show that you want to make up for past sins?
I would. I do.
Oh, can you give us your address?
down on their luck into my home.
Can you give us your address? We'll send it over to the DHS. Maybe they can send you a boxcar full of illegals.
Maybe you can mail me a...
No. Give us your home address so we can send it to the DHS so they can send you a boxcar full. Now, do you prefer small, medium, or large in the illegals? Which do you want, the little ones or the big ones? Do you want those with gang tattoos or the babies?
You know, you're...
No, Bob, which do you want? You want the big ones with the extra-large underwear or the babies?
I want the ones that come here to make a better life and will work hard. And,
now, does that include infants? Are the infants and mothers being brought in going to work hard?
I think the mothers are going to work hard.
How could the mothers work if they have an infant in their hands? How can they work?
Well, they can have somebody watch it.
Well, who's going to watch the baby?
I mean, they can have another human being that's coming.
Well, who would that be? Who's going to hire the other human being so the mother can make minimum wage?
Well, I think our government should sponsor some of these.
So the government should hire the illegal alien mothers a babysitter so they can go to work at McDonald's. Is that it?
Yeah, can go to work at McDonald's or do something else to build our economy.
Now, what would you build our economy? You're buying that hook, line, and sinker, aren't you, Bob?
Well, I know what...
You think that they're coming here to work? Do you think they're entitled to medical care when our veterans have been waiting so long for it?
The reason our veterans have been waiting so long for it is because the Republicans have...
Here we go. Nixon did it. Reagan did it. Ronald Reagan caused it. Bob, how do you sit in your life like that with such hatred towards your own self? How do you hate yourself so much?
Pardon?
Why don't you just stand up and be counted? Why don't you put a sign in your window that says, I want to feed, house, and clothe illegal aliens in my house? Why don't you put that on your front window?
I do. I have a Christian symbol. I think that pretty much says...
So this is now based on Christianity.
I think that pretty much says...
Okay, so you're a good... I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a good Christian and you're in favor of illegal immigration. So do you work for the Catholic Church diocese in your neighborhood? Because I know they're behind the smashing of our borders. What, were you brainwashed by your priest?
No, I can figure things out logically for myself. And
well, all right, so who's going to pay for the costs of these illegal aliens, Bob?
By the increase in taxes, by the upswing in our economy, they will bring...
Whoa. What increase in taxes? What taxes?
Well, when these people are paying taxes, when they become...
How is a two-year-old going to work, Bob?
Well, they're not going to work today, but their parents can work, and they're...
How can the parents work if they have to take care of a two-year-old that came in illegally from Guatemala? Parents can't work. They're coming here to be permanent wards of the state, Bob.
Look at the...
Bob, you're not using logic. You're putting your doxy ahead of your brain. Your doxy is ahead of your brain, Bob. You're sounding like a brainwashed liberal Catholic.
I'm not...
There's no arguing with men like you because you don't understand the consequences of your thinking. You really don't. What you got to do is put your money where your mouth is. Why don't you advertise that you would gladly take in 2, 4, 5, 10 illegal immigrants into your house? Why don't you take them in, Bob? They're looking for good homes.
I give according to my resources.
All right, that's enough with him already. I could almost picture this guy. I want to get back to the Gary Oldman story, and the best way to do this, even though it's not about illegal aliens, which we could talk about day and night, my main issue on the illegal alien story is many of them were infected with diseases. Many of the diseases were wiped out in America. They're bringing them in again. Of course, a guy like Bob wouldn't care. He would say we deserve the diseases for what we did to the natives of South America. You're always going to have brainwashed liberals like that. I want to go to the Gary Oldman story, and you have to understand, Gary Oldman was misquoted. I have a letter that no one's seen from his agent, which I got 30 minutes ago. I got it from his manager and producing partner, Doug Urbanski. And by the way, Doug filled in for me years ago, and he tells me that most of what's said in the interview is misleading, that have popped up in one or two places. And I'm going to read you the email because it's original to this show. But first, we have to play for you the Gary Oldman segment. Now, remember what you're listening to. It's a, I guess he's a commentator, I suppose, from L.A., right? His name is Ruben, isn't that it? Ruben, I've been thinking. It's Ruben, right? Yeah, here it is, Ruben. It's about Gary Oldman by a guy named Ruben. Right now on the Savage Nation.
All right, from classic idiocy, now to something that's decidedly much more serious, and perhaps also somewhat misguided. We all search for candor, but should you really share every opinion you have with Playboy magazine? Gary Oldman is undeniably talented. But I think this is going to cause a stir. Oldman tells Playboy that maybe, you know, that whole entire Mel Gibson situation was perhaps taken out of context. Here's what Gary says. I don't know about Mel. He got drunk and said a few things, but we've all said those things. We're all blank hypocrites. The policeman who arrested him has never used the N-word or disparaging comment towards Jews, he asked. All right. After pouring the gasoline, Gary here lights the match. Mel Gibson is in a town that's run by Jews, and he said the wrong thing because he's actually bitten the hand that I guess has fed him, or the hand that I guess has fed him, and doesn't feed him, doesn't need to feed him anymore because he's got enough dough. He's like an outcast, a leper, you know. A quick sidebar. If Hollywood were really, truly run by Jews entirely for their own benefit, shouldn't I be doing better? Honestly. Yeah. And now the better doctor goes on to say, it's so true, right? Really. At the Oscars. If
you have shot to the middle, so, that's pretty good.
It's that conspiracy.
Right.
The Trilateral Commission has put me right in the middle. The veteran actor says, political correctness affects award season. At the Oscars, if you didn't vote for 12 Years a Slave, you were a racist. You have to be very careful about what you say. I do have particular views and opinions that most of this town doesn't share, but it's not like I'm a fascist or a racist.
Have another cocktail, Gary.
Okay, Gary. My new show, which I'm going to produce with Henry's friend, is called Two Drinks In.
Oh, really?
I'm serious. I think that would be...
That's all it takes. That's two drinks.
I think two drinks is enough.
So here they're putting a knife into Gary Oldman and making believe they're being nice about it. This is how Hollywood liberals work. They're trying to destroy Gary Oldman the way they destroyed Mel Gibson. The way, I got to tell you, I'm very sensitive to this because people will take one word that you say and twist the words and try to destroy you if you are not a member of the Communist Party USA in some variety or other. And so if you want to comment on this scandal that's going to blow up, I can guarantee you, on a domestic level, 855-407-2822. What do you feel about this interview with Gary Oldman in Playboy, which you haven't read? You've heard in advance he's a racist. You've heard in advance that he's a bad guy. But his agent sent me this letter. He said, I wanted to personally share some thoughts and to address the misleading headlines that have popped up in one or two places, writes his manager, Doug Urbanski. And he says, by that I mean that Gary does not blast liberal Hollywood. The word liberal is not used by him, and I don't think it appears in the story in question. Nor does Gary any place in the piece or out of it defend Mel Gibson or Alec Baldwin. He says, I have looked at the Playboy interview a few times now. In fact, I was in the room during the entire 8 or 9 hours. I am unaware, as I have seen reported, of Gary Oldman defending any anti-Semitic remarks in the interview, or for that matter, any place. Gary would not do so, and in fact, he finds any kind of bigotry, homophobia, anti-Semitism, racism, or sexism unacceptable and disgraceful, period, he writes. He goes on and says, if you read the Playboy piece correctly and entirely, and in context, it is the hypocrisy of political correctness that Gary Oldman is addressing, nothing else. It cannot be read any other way, and to put it any other way is simply cherry-picking something, stating it inaccurately, and creating news where there is none. I won't read you the rest of the letter to me, but he goes on and says, Gary specifically does not defend him or anti-Semitism. Noteworthy, however, is that other artists, specifically Robert Downey Jr., and Jodie Foster have loudly defended Mel Gibson spanning the past few years. A few clicks on your computer will show you what they had to say, and et cetera. You get the picture. I realize this is not a big deal. I know it's not as big a deal as Obama destroying the country. I realize that. It's not as big as your Islamo-fascist friends cutting off heads in Mosul. I realize it's not as big a story as your Islamo-fascist friends raping and killing Christian women in Iraq now that Obama drove our soldiers out, because he didn't want to leave a retaining force behind. I realize it's not as big a story as that, but it's still a story. And if you care to comment on the Gary Oldman issue, the illegal swarms, the Iraq, the IRS scandal, we're open for business. And if you get on with Savage, you'll be heard by more people than you ever met in your entire life. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. Let's begin in New York City. I love New York. I haven't been in New York in 2 years. You talk about what I should have done. I was there 2 years ago. Is it 3 now? I stayed in a hotel. Which is the hotel I stayed? I always forget the hotel. Then after, must be more than 2 years now. And they were selling condos in the hotel. And I almost bought one. But I thought they were so expensive. I dare not look at what they become worth. I think I'm going to do it for fun. I forget the name of the hotel, but I got a brochure. I was that close, a two-bedroom, two-bath. And then the maintenance was so high in this hotel that I decided not to buy it. I wouldn't have used it anyway, but I could just imagine what the price is today. Okay. God forbid another 9/11 occurs somewhere in America because of the DHS that's not protecting us but protecting them. We'll see what real estate values are after that. WABC New York, Brian, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, I could not vouch for Gary Oldman's actual personal being, but being a semi-movie buff, this guy is not just a perfectionist in every movie he's in, but he has played roles from anywhere from a homosexual, an actual African-American he's played, every other possible level of law enforcement, attorney, informant, and he has played it to a point where he has upstaged any high-scale actor that he has acted with. And it's going to be unfortunate what happens to this guy. Because
They're setting him up. This guy in L.A. is so jealous of him that he said these things. They're trying to destroy him in advance.
It's amazing he doesn't have any kind of award, which obviously that's a different story.
Well, I don't know Gary Oldman, but I'll tell you, I just looked on the YouTube piece to look at him, and he'd make a great Jack Hatfield, the protagonist of my novels, don't you think?
You know, he's a very pliable actor in anything he's been in. It's amazing how
I'm saying my novel, Abuse of Power, and my novel, Time for War, has a protagonist named Jack Hatfield. I think Gary would be perfect for that.
You're right. He absolutely would.
He's about the right age, the right physique, and the right temperament to play Jack Hatfield. Interesting. FTL in Florida. Harry. Oh, I got to take a quick break. Then we're going to go to Harry in Florida, FTL, the land of the... What month is this already? It's in June, yeah. If you go to Florida right now and you ride on Federal Highway between Fort Lauderdale and Boca Raton, the stores are empty, but every pizzeria and every Italian restaurant is open because the witness protection program runs 24/7. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That should happen as soon as possible. This country is ready. This country is ready for anyone who can do the job.
Right. That's Michelle Obama saying that the U.S. needs a female president as soon as possible. Would she be saying that if it was Sarah Palin running for office, I wonder? What she means is the U.S. needs a Marxist female president. Emphasis on the word Marxist. I mean, I don't care if the person was AC/DC or Foot Power, frankly, as long as they were let's say American-oriented, nationalistic, would protect our borders, language, and culture. I don't care if it's a woman, a man, or someone with something in between. What do you mean a woman? Do you understand how absurd that is to say that the country needs a woman president, a female president? Do you understand how absurd the First Lady sounds to make a statement like that? What do you mean we need it? You mean a dummy as a female would be good? A monster female would be good? A crazy female would be good? What is she talking about? Do you understand that any woman who votes for a president because she's not a man indicates that the woman is stupid? If a woman says to you, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, then the woman is a dummy. Divorce her immediately, or if she's a girlfriend, drop her immediately. You'll never get along with this woman. There's no fixing her. The relationship's finished. If a woman says, yes, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, I'm saying get out of the relationship immediately. If she says for a woman that she's a woman, that what is she saying? She's voting for her because she's not a man? So what does that say? She hates men? What kind of relationship can you have with that? Don't call me on this. The world is on fire. Tens of thousands of Obama's children from Central America being ushered and flown into the U.S. instead of sent home. 24,000 pair of underwear are being ordered by DHS, including large sizes for large men.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
A little louder, please. I can't hear it. Maybe I need an implant. I need a cerebral implant from what Obama's been doing to my brain lately. I turned it off already. So we're talking about the surge of illegal aliens that Obama's forcing down our throats. We're talking about the fact that they're using little girls and little boys and mothers as a cover for at least 24,000 men who need underwear. They've ordered 24,000 pair of underwear, including large sizes. So they're not all little children. This is a planned invasion from Central America. And according to the Border Patrol, hospitals have diagnosed infectious diarrhea, multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. Attention liberals. Attention liberals. Microbes do not discriminate. They do not know that you're a good liberal who's in favor of illegal aliens coming to America. Scabies, chickenpox, and a growing numbers have them sexually transmitted diseases because they're doing it in the Border Patrol housing. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the adults that are coming and hidden with the children? You don't think that's sort of a Trojan horse? Why are they bringing in adults mixed in with the children? It's bad enough the health of children. It's bad enough the health of mothers. Now they're bringing in, they're flooding us with grown men, 15, 16 years old. In Iraq, they use AK-47s. In their countries, they're members of gangs, many of them. You can shoot an AK at 13. What does it matter? They're children. Why are they bringing in gang members into America, and why are you not stopping it? You can't do anything about it. That's why. I don't blame you. Now, I wrote about this in several of my books, most notably Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. And I wrote about the Cloward-Piven strategy. I'm not saying I'm the first to uncover it, but I think I'm the first writer of a major book to have talked about the political strategy developed in 1966 by American sociologists and political activists Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven that called for overloading the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a national system of, quote, guaranteed annual income and thus an end to poverty. Cloward and Piven, I wrote, were a married couple who were both professors at the Columbia University School of Social Work, well-known leftist leftist cesspool. Their strategy to overwhelm our country was formulated in a May 1966 article in the communist magazine The Nation, entitled The Weight of the Poor, a Strategy to End Poverty. The two left-wing vermin stated that many Americans who were eligible for welfare were not receiving benefits, blah, blah, blah. And so they worked their strategy in order to overwhelm the system, they said. They focused on forcing the Democrat Party to take federal action to help the poor. And, of course, the federal government has helped the poor, and yet there's still armies of poor, right? And the object is not to wipe out poverty, but to wipe out the middle class. Something you don't understand about Obama and his minions is that as hardcore Marxists, Leninists, leftists, socialists, whatever you want to call them, their enemy is the middle class. That's why Obama has been very careful over the last year to start saying this will help the middle class, because all their policies actually attack the bourgeoisie, which is the middle class. Why would they want to attack the middle class? Because in a communist or Marxist society, there are only two classes, the bureaucrats, the rich, bureaucrats and the rich, and the rest of us. And that would be the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, the friends of Hillary and Bill, the friends of Barry, and in other words, the golfing partners, the private jet folk that give them tons of money. Those would be the elites that survive in a Marxist state. And then there'd be the bureaucrats and the rest of the people would be basically fighting for one salami in a butcher store. So that's the Cloward and Piven crisis situation that they're enacting right now. You say, well, come on, how can you prove that? Well, I can't prove anything. How can I prove anything? The fact of the matter is I wrote about it in Trickle Up Poverty because I knew that they were going to overwhelm the system, and they're now focused on overwhelming us with illegal aliens, and the illegal aliens apparently need underwear. And the underwear are not all for babies. Some of them are large size underwear. You keep saying, well, you keep emphasizing large size underwear. I understand that. And they urgently need 42,000 pairs. Border mess, homeland underwear crisis. Look at the Drudge Report. Urgently need 42,000 pairs of underwear. DHS looks to buy men's underwear, some of it very big, says the article. The immigrants that are flowing into America are not children. Some of the briefs needed are size medium to 6X large. Now, why would a two-year-old need a 6X large underwear? 6X large, they want 200 dozen. 200 dozen white 100% cotton men's briefs, size 6X large per dozen. X large, 600 dozen, 2X large, 3X large, 4X large, 5 times large, 6X. I don't see any small. There's not one RFP in here for small underwear. The smallest underwear is medium. So so what do the infants wear? I don't get that. The infants get the diapers and then the gangbangers get the underwear? Then we're talking about the Oldman. I'm trying to smear Gary Oldman now in Variety magazine with the Playboy magazine. Now, I was interviewed by Playboy in 2010, and he went out of his way to smear me. It didn't work. I became more popular. I can read you parts of the interview because a lot of it's about illegal immigration. You ready to hear it? Okay, Playboy says, okay, two kinds of people listen to talk radio in 2010, he wrote. Those who think Michael Savage is a nut job and those who think he's right. The Savage Nation, his daily broadcast, reaches an estimated 8 million to 10 million listeners a week. That was then. It's a little smaller now because I started all over again. Remember, I started all over again 2.5 years ago. How many of you could start a career all over again at my age? None of you. And I'm still going. But he writes in Playboy, but even his haters admitted the show is like radio crack and wildly unpredictable. 1 minute Savage is railing against illegal immigration or advocating work camps for the homeless. I never did. I said they should work if they're able-bodied. See how they twist things? The next he's getting misty over a Walt Whitman couplet or cuddling his poodle Teddy. Oh, Teddy, darling, you're in here. Savage abhors whiny liberalism and the Prius elite. Even as he plays up his lefty creds, a PhD from Berkeley. Why is that a lefty cred? What do you mean a PhD from Berkeley doesn't make me a leftist? It just shows you how stupid the interviewer was. Because I have a PhD from Berkeley, that makes me a leftist? I mean, what kind of stupidity is this? The PhD had nothing to do with politics, you moron. You, it was in the science, schmuck. It wasn't in political science, David Hockman, you putz. I can't stand these people. They twist everything. And his years of association with tree huggers, gays, and beatniks. I don't know that I hung around with tree huggers. I was a tree hugger. I didn't associate with them. I was one. I tried to save Forrest. Does that make me crazy? But he's just as hard on conservatives. Ask him if you dare about Glenn Beck. Savage likes to call himself an independent-minded individualist. Born in 1942 in the Bronx, he grew up poor and more than a little discontent. His father ran an antique store on the Lower East Side of New York, and young Michael was dispatched to the basement to clean patina off bronze statues with various cyanides. Quote, one cleaned, one killed, but my father never said which was which. A younger brother, Jerome, was born with brain damage and eventually died in an institution, a tragedy that pushed Savage to study alternative medicine in faraway islands. With degrees in anthropology and medical botany and nutrition, he became one of America's most prominent herbalists and author of such books as Plant a Tree, A Working Guide to Regreening America, and Secrets of Fijian Medicine. Let me pause right there. You have no idea who I am. You've only got a stereotype of me. I should have won many prizes. I should be one of the most prominent American commentators, but because I am, I have to say, it's so far and beyond most of them, they try to ignore me. Honestly, you'll see what's going to happen when my book Stop the Coming Civil War comes out. See how many of the leg crossers on Fox have me on, the ones who pretend to be so conservative. Then it says, but after working at a San Francisco health clinic in the early 1980s when AIDS was just surfacing, he published Maximum Immunity, a book that took a hard line against the AIDS illness. It was part of a turnaround that prompted the name change, a nod to 19th century sailor Charles Savage, who introduced guns to Fiji. In 1995, Sal, you read all of this, it's boring. Today, Savage has three homes. No, actually, there's more now. An array of flashy cars, and a 63-foot yacht in prosperous Marin County. No, I don't have the yacht anymore. I have a 22-foot yacht. Boat. I won't read anything about my family because that's, you know, again, what they like to do is to smear families because they're such slime balls. Okay, so the interview begins like this in Playboy. Okay, let me take some callers. Ralph on WFTL, go ahead, please. You're calling out the Playboy interview with Gary Oldman. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, Michael, I agree with you on so many things, but I get the feeling that you're like, I hate to say this, like a self-indulgent putz, in the sense that everything always has to be about you and how you're this and how you're that. You're 72, 73 years old. Shouldn't you have gotten over this? I mean,
Wait, I don't understand what you're angry at me now. What did I do to make you angry?
Well, what I'm saying is I listen to your show. I agree with so many of your views, but I watch, you know, I'm not prominent like you are, but I watch you insult these people at, let's say, Fox News, and then after that you expect that they're going to put you on in Greek as if the insult never took place.
That's right. They should put me on to show they're bigger than me.
What are you talking about?
No, that's right. In other words, Blondie, to show she's bigger than me, should have me on even though I called her a name.
No, why should you?
Otherwise, they're thin-skinned. Like, look, I'll tell you why I'm banned on Fox News. It's because I dared write about O'Reilly years ago in the Political Zoo, and I called him Leprechaun. So he put the kibosh on me. He put a blacklist out. That's my estimation.
You know why you don't like O'Reilly? Because he's like you. He's in love with himself. I get the feeling that he kisses a mirror.
I don't dislike O'Reilly. I just called him the Leprechaun. I don't dislike leprechauns.
What do you mean by leprechaun? What specifically do you mean by him being a
leprechaun? Is a mythological Irish figure, and I think he took it personally. I don't. You know, you can rip somebody. Don't they have roasts? Doesn't he have a sense of humor? People call me names. I don't hate them for it. In other words, if it's a vicious name, I would understand it. I didn't call him a vicious thing. I called him the leprechaun.
I know what a leprechaun is. What makes him a leprechaun? I'm curious.
Because he pretends to be one thing when he's another.
Okay, what is he pretending to be?
He pretends to be super conservative when he's in favor of granting amnesty to millions of illegal aliens. Does that qualify as a leprechaun?
If that's what a leprechaun, I didn't know that a leprechaun had a fault.
Yeah, in other words, you pretend to be one thing when you're another. Now, O'Reilly pretends to be conservative, and yet he's in favor of amnesty because his boss is in favor of amnesty. I don't think you understand that Fox News has a boss named Rupert Murdoch, who owns News Corporation, who is a good friend of Hillary Clinton, wants Hillary to be president, according to what I can read, and also the fact that Murdoch went to dinner with Valerie Jarrett the other night, and they talked about amnesty. I don't think you understand what's going on. When have you last seen anyone on Fox News come out against amnesty?
I have not seen any. What about...
All right, so Ralph, you have to understand that I know what I'm talking about. Now, as far as your charge that I'm a little obsessed with myself, I'm guilty. I am. No, what do you mean I should have gotten over that? Don't you know the adage, if I am not for myself, who will be? If I am only for myself, who am I? What is wrong with promoting myself in a media that's too busy to recognize anything for more than 3 seconds?
Okay, you asked the question. I will do my best to answer it. Because after a while, my wife, who is very apolitical, we've been married 30 years, she said, is this guy on the radio you would like? I said, who is he? She said, Michael Savage. I said, yeah, I agree with his views. But I grew up in a time in the 1950s and 60s. I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn. When you weren't supposed to only talk about how wonderful you were. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe we should have talked about ourselves all the time. But every time I try to tune your show, all it is talking about how wonderful you are, how misunderstood. Nobody realizes that we're in the presence of greatness and everything. You are. You've done a lot with yourself. But at your age...
See, don't you understand what you're saying right now? And I got to do this in a delicate manner. I think your wife likes me more than you do, right?
She thinks that I would agree with you. She's apolitical. She said,
No, I think that you're jealous that she likes me, and you, and I think that's what you're really saying. You're macho. What we're having now is a contest of wills, and you don't like the fact that I'm such an accomplished individual. What do you want me to do, hide it? In other words, do you want me to hide my accomplishments in order to fit in with Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck, high school dropouts? Is that what you want?
Excuse me, you're saying they're hiding their accomplishments? I don't understand that.
No, they're making believe they're way beyond their intellectual level. That's what I'm saying. Do you have any idea that they're uneducated men, that they have no learning whatsoever? They're all feeding... I have to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I don't know why people get upset if I talk about my background and my accomplishments, and I'm simply quoting from a Playboy interview with me done in 2010. I mean, it's a very good interview in some regard. They try to twist me into what I'm not. They try to, you know, twist my words, and he couldn't get the best of me. And I don't know what that makes me. I'm a bad guy for reading my interview in Playboy. I don't get that. WJR, Detroit, Ken, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Ken. We have a shortness of time. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I understand tooting your own horn. I do it all the time, Dr. Savage. But at times you sound a little narcissistic, and that gets me crazy because I think you're a good guy.
Okay, how much is too much when no one will mention you? Let me put it to you this way. The man who called before said that he grew up in East New York when you weren't supposed to toot your own horn. Yeah, that was then. This is now. The attention span is a millisecond. The outlets are endless. How do you stand out in the media but by trying to show that you should stand out? How do you stand out in the media unless you let the people know that you're worthy of being listened to? Someone's going to tell you about me? So, all right, if I overdo it, for those of you who listen regularly, I'll back off a little. I'll only talk about myself 80% of the time.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the King of Talk Radio, Michael Savage. I like that. I want you to make it sound like a regular radio show. Like the old DJ sound. Broadcasting from atop the Empire State Building in New York City. Actually, not atop the Empire State Building in New York City. We're talking about a number of topics. The news, the views, the reviews. And as my show evolved, we started talking about me. And people accused me of being too narcissistic. And I think that that's a very important topic, and I'm going to tell you why. As you listen to the following call, because I don't know where she's going to go, but I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go, about narcissism in the media. Jan, on KSFO in San Francisco, please go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I guess the call before the last one, the gentleman called and said that you do talk about yourself. And you know what? I seem to agree with him 100%. After a while, when you hear people talk about themselves, how great they are, people start to tune you out. And that's exactly what I've done to this radio station.
Really? Wait a minute. Then why are you listening right now?
Wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute. You just said you tuned me out. Now you're calling to tell me that you tuned me out.
I just got into my car, turned it on.
And what, he does, he's not narcissistic by calling himself the great one?
Excuse me, can I have a turn?
No, you can't have a moment. You're accusing me of being narcissistic, so why don't you tell me who in radio is less self-involved than I am?
You know, when you have to put down other radio hosts...
Well, you're not answering me, Jan. You're not answering me. Tell me who in talk radio is not involved in promoting themselves. Let's put it that way.
Why do you have to promote yourself if you're...
Well, you just told me you listened to another show where a guy calls himself the great one. Is that not offensive to you?
Yes, he doesn't go on. He wasn't given that title to himself. Someone else...
Who gave it to him? God Almighty?
Hannity.
Oh, come on, Jan. You're just trying to run me down because you know I'm great. It's as simple as that. You're jealous of my intelligence. You're jealous of my delivery. But most importantly, you know what really is bothering you? You're jealous of my machismo. You don't really like men, do you?
You know something? You are a fool. You are a buffoon, Michael Savage.
Then why don't you have your own show, Jan, if you're so smart? How come you don't have a radio show?
I don't want to. I never want to.
Jan, have you written any books that I might be able to buy and read?
You know what, Michael? If your book was on a shelf and it was free, I would not take it.
Wow, you're a real hater, Jan. You're a real hater. When did you stop working for Nancy Pelosi? Was it this month or was it last month?
People putting other people down the way you do.
Well, you're just putting me down, Jan. What kind of person does that make you?
Because I'm simply saying when you come...
Oh, no, because you're a vicious woman who thinks that by playing holier-than-thou with people, they're going to kowtow to you. But I don't do that, Jan. It's very hard to get me to bow down to people.
Woman of you.
I don't like you, Jan. I don't like you. I don't like where you're coming from. I think you're a mean person.
Thank you, sir.
I think you're a very mean, manipulative woman, by the way, Jan.
I don't like you talking about other people.
Jan, I don't like you. I think you're a mean, manipulative person, and I'm not going to respect you just because you're a caller. There's nothing about you that anybody would like, Jan.
Over this one.
Nobody likes you, Jan. Please do me a favor and don't listen to the show anymore, because your listening reduces the IQ of my audience, and I can't afford that. All right, let's move on. Can anyone mention anybody in radio who is less narcissistic than I am? El Rushbo, the great one, who is less narcissistic than me? Let me explain something to you. I've had to fight every second of my media life for 20 years to stay alive, and I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not going to stop fighting just because you think I'm too narcissistic. Some of you may, and some of you may not. I may not be the perfect cup of tea for everyone. I don't think I am. There are those who like phonies who call themselves great people, and they're not great people. I'm a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. I own the issue of immigration. When I was writing books on the subject, they were reading law books and working for the government. So don't tell me who I am. Don't try to redefine me. I was trying to warn America about the overrun of our borders ever since I began a radio in 1994 while some were working for the government and pretending to be conservatives. I want to give you an example, and I want to go back to the Playboy interview with me for 2010. He starts by saying, it's all about immigration. The first paragraph of the interview with Michael Savage is about immigration. So the idiot says to me, Playboy, why are you so angry? Savage, do I look angry? Playboy, a little. You definitely sound angry. Savage, well, I get worked up. First of all, I get angry because I can't believe I live in a country that's so stupid, it lets every group in the world come in here. Please let us in because our country is a garbage can. Fine. Then they say, let us come in on asylum because our country will kill us. No problem. Then the minute they get here, they turn around and sue the country, make demands on the country, won't learn the language, won't salute the flag, and all they do is disparage America. Playboy, you've neatly boiled it down to a problem of borders, language, and culture, correct? Savage, it's my definition of how our nation is defined and why it's unraveling. It's also a framework. Here are our borders, here is our language, here is our culture. If you want to live in America, wonderful, but become one of us. If you want to practice your home language, do it at home or in your own community. Playboy, that sort of rabid nationalism can quickly lead to xenophobia, which in turn count, well, remember what happened in the 1930s in Germany? Savage, oh, BS. That's typical left-wing horse crap. I don't even understand what you're talking about. What, I'm Hitler because I'm against illegal immigration? That makes me a racist? I would say the racists are the people who come into a country that isn't theirs and take it over and tell me I should speak their language. You go to a sporting event and they're waving the Mexican flag, not an American flag? What if my grandfather had waved the Russian flag at a sporting event? They would have killed him. Playboy, you wouldn't be here speaking freely on the radio every day if it weren't for your immigrant grandparents and so many millions more. Savage, now listen carefully to what I say here, because many of you have been confronted by this kind of numbskull liberalism. Savage, not all waves of immigration are the same. Not all immigrants are the same. Not all nations of origin are the same. The times are different. My grandparents wanted to become Americans. Maybe they spoke Russian at home, but when they went outside, they wanted to be Americans. So I don't know what that has to do with race. I think it has to do with attitude. And then I go on to talk about the illegals, and I ask this question. How in the world can we take in an unlimited number of people? Who's going to pay for their health care? Who's going to pay for their jail care? Who's going to pay for their legal care? Who's going to pay for their housing? The answer is the rest of us are, and that's why we're going broke. And I go into health care, and I go into hospitals and things like that. And then they ask me other questions, and it's too long for me to read everything in here. And I can skip around, and I can. And then they ask me, why are you so provocative? And he says to me, so you're doing it to be provocative? Savage says, if I were not a controversial figure, you wouldn't be here. My job is to make people listen, and I'll do it any way I have to. What did he say? Damn, that's outrageous. Well, yeah, but listen to what I'm saying. See it in the bigger picture. Of course people love to twist what I say, take it out of context, make me a monster. And then he goes on to making me into a monster. And then he brings up the television show. Everything, again, leads back to homosexuality and AIDS and gays. That's all they can do. That's all they're obsessed with. The world is burning right now. The border is being overrun by now. Muslims are killing by the hundreds of, by the tens of thousands. They're raping women. Churches are burning. And all they care about is gay marriage. All you hear about is LGBT and gay, 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 gay. The world is burning. Do you understand what this obsession is doing to the world? That some of the brightest and most motivated people in our country are obsessed with only one thing when they should be screaming about the decimation of innocent people in the Middle East. Instead, they're screaming about LGBT and gay marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You want to talk about narcissism? You want to talk about self-obsession? Then focus on those who are self-obsessed and narcissistic. And don't throw me in that category, because you don't even know what it is if you're not seeing for what it is. And that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm coming from. And I'm very, very proud of the fact that I've worked so hard and so diligently to get here and stay here. And I intend to stay here until my contract is up, or until God decides to take me to heaven to make him a meatball hero. 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation phone number. It's 17 minutes to the hour. And let's go to some callers, okay? Some callers are important right now. I don't know what's the best caller right now. I just don't know. Which is the best caller here? I can't even see. Line 9, Fran, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I called to say I think that you should toot your own horn as much as you friggin' well please. The one who has all the accomplishments, who did all the hard work. You've worked all your life to get where you are, and why shouldn't you say it? You don't say anything that's not true. And narcissists are not in reality. You're talking about reality. If these people think they're as good as you are, they should be born all over again. They didn't do the work.
Well, I can't say anything other than thank you. So there's two sides to every story. But if you actually define what a narcissist is, it would be Barack Obama, who pretends to have achieved, have great accomplishments when there are none. That's a narcissist. You see, a narcissist talks about himself ad nauseum without any real accomplishments. That's Barack Obama. That's a narcissist. An actor would be a narcissist. An idiot like this James Franco, who showed his behind and thinks that that's something way cool, shows his behind for charity. Or the daughter of Alec Baldwin, or Sean Penn, that every other day they're showing their behinds in a pair of tights on Instagram. That's narcissism at a mentally ill level, in my opinion. That's mental illness. That's true narcissism. Now, if you want the NPR type of news with the Vivaldi music, what, you think because you hear classical music they're more intelligent than I am? The phonies on NPR, you think that they're sophisticated? Because you hear classical music, Vivaldi music, that makes them intelligent? No, it doesn't make them anything. Listen, that we made years ago. You're listening to SPR, Savage Public Radio. We did that years ago. WABC, Lauren, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Whenever I mention you, the first comment usually from a male is he talks about himself too much. And I wound up finding something. I was saying, well, I'm sorry, but and I was going to, and then I said, why am I sorry? I'm not sorry. I said, I listen to Michael Savage. Why am I apologizing? You know, the self-confidence people are getting out of a bottle, you know, medication, alcohol, wherever they're getting it, you have it. You've earned it. I love you. And you've got beautiful hands, by the way. I saw a photograph of you.
I do. I do have nice hands. And I never talk about them. It shows you how unnarcissistic I am. I mean, if I really wanted to be narcissistic, I would tell everyone how nice my hands are.
You have gorgeous hands.
Really? They are? No, I didn't even notice it. Never look at my own hands. That's very nice, Lauren. I didn't even know. That's something new to boast about. No, look, there's a lot of jealousy in the world, and people don't like when you talk about yourself. They don't understand that when you do this as long as I have, 3 hours a day for 20 years, 5 days a week, I mean, more or less, you don't do it every day of your life. At a certain point, the news becomes stifling. It could choke you to death. Moreover, I would tell you something else. If you want the news, you can get the news on television. You can get it from a straight news feed. You get it from the Internet faster than from me. And I find that talk radio doesn't even understand its role anymore. It's shifting right now. Talk radio has to come to understand that it's a different medium than Fox News. It's different. It can't just regurgitate what Fox News does, because there's no reason to listen to talk radio if you can get it from a girl with a nice pair of legs and good lipstick. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation, champion for America's borders, language, and culture for 20 years. Talk radio is and must be different than news shows. News shows are about the news. And some are good, some are bad. You can get the news anywhere. You're not tuning in to the Savage Nation just for the news, because you'd be bored within a few minutes. If I were to go on and on about the IRS scandal, about the border being overrun on purpose by Obama and his minions, which I've done intermittently, you would not listen to the show for the length of time that you do. And I would not be able to do the show much longer, because I would go crazy. I would start to sound like a drone. I would start to sound like those bored to death of their own shows who go on and on with the same topic every day. No matter when you tune them in, you could predict, Teddy, no matter when you tune them in, you could predict exactly what they're going to say. I have to take a timeout and kill my dog. Stop. Teddy, stop it. I really see, this is what goes on in real time in radio. This is real time. I had to yell at my dog just now. Teddy, stop it. You're on the air right now. You should know by now. I'm cutting your salary. No more greenies. So what I'm saying is, radio is much more than about the news. Radio is also about the personality who delivers the show. Radio is magical. Radio is mystical. Radio has elements that television doesn't have. Radio is about the imagination. When you turn on Fox News, you see women. Some pretty, some beautiful, some average, some very intelligent, some whatever. And you see guys, and that's part of the appeal of television. When you turn on the radio, you can't see me. You can't see the next guy in radio. You have to imagine where I am, what I look like, what I'm doing. I try to make myself come alive for you by talking about me. I bring my dog into it because he's a part of my life. I make him part of my radio life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why I do it and how I do it and why the show is what it is and how it's different than any other show in the history of talk radio. And it won't be copied. It can't be copied. It's an art form. It's poetry. It's the Savage Nation. Another big hour across many markets in America. I hope you'll stay with me to hear about me. More about me in the news on the Savage Nation when I return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the least narcissistic talk radio show in the United States of America, The Savage Nation. Now, there are very serious topics out there, including the fact that murder suspects, sex offenders, MS-13 gangsters, and infected individuals are being seen at the Texas border because Obama is infiltrating America with gangs. Whole gangs are being infiltrated right in front of your eyes as they're hiding amongst women and children. Now, why do I say a thing like that? Is that simply for effect? Is it an extravagant overreach? Is it not true? I'll let you decide. I'll play a very fair game with you. I'll let you decide. Why would your government order 42,000 pairs of underwear for men? You say it's a joke? Your DHS, which should be arrested right now for undermining the United States of America, is seeking to buy men's underwear, 42,000 pair, for the illegals, and some of it in very large sizes, which would be a joke if it wasn't a joke. Is it not odd to you that the Homeland Security Department is buying 42,000 pairs of white men's briefs, white 100% cotton men's underwear, including large sizes? Why? Tell me why. Do you know that many of ICE's detention facilities are owned by contractors? Did you know who these contractors are? Would you be shocked to find out some of them are prominent liberals who own these facilities in which they are being held? Did you know that illegal alien champions Bill Gates and George Soros are profiting by jailing some of these illegal aliens? They're shareholders in GEO Group, Inc., which operates prisons under contract with U.S. ICE. Did you know that GEO has been represented by the lobby firm headed by Tony Podesta, the brother of White House counselor and Center for American Progress founder, the leftist John Podesta? Did you know that GEO is the world's largest operator of private prisons and detention centers, and it was known as the Wackenhut Corrections Corporation? Do you know any of this? Did you know that Gates is an investor in this company? You didn't know any of this. Now, it's important you should know it because there's a lot of money to be made on the illegal aliens. They could care less about America. Just as the IRS head, who was once the chairman of Freddie Mac, and I keep, you haven't probably heard that yet, but this guy, John Koskinen, that arrogant bureaucrat who would not answer any questions, was basically spitting at our congressmen, our representatives, telling us he didn't know where the emails were, he doesn't know anything about it. He was executive chairman of Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac, do you remember the housing meltdown that brought us Obama? It's all interconnected, by the way. It's all part of their arsenal of deceit. But that's not what I want to talk about. At the end of last hour, it started to become about me, and people started to attack me for being too self-centered on the radio. And I defended myself. And I don't know whether that's a topic unto itself, but I have to tell you that I thought that my depiction of what talk radio is was important for you to know. It's not just about the news. It has to be a lot of other things. That's my interpretation of radio. Let each performer interpret it their own way. Each one must do it their own way. Some do straight news. Some do history books. Some wrap themselves in George Washington's costume. Some put on tri-parted hats. Everyone has their own little act. And God knows, you know, there's room for all of us. But my approach is different. I think that talk radio has to be entertaining, number one, or else it's worthless. It'll die. It's going to die a death. It'll be dead. It'll be dead within a year or two. If this keeps up, where it's just a spin-off of Fox News, it's over. There's no need to listen to us if all we're going to do is play their sound bites and then interview the same people that were just interviewed on Fox News. Why would you listen to radio in the middle of a busy day if that's all we did? So it has to be more than that. Does it have to have the news in it? Sure. Does it have to be hard-hitting? I think so. Does it have to waken you to activity, to action? Yes. But it has to be more than that. And it has to be about the personality. Talk radio is about the personality behind the news. I mean, behind the show, sorry. So I think that that's worth talking about. And I'd like to have some calls on this topic, by the way. Because I've already told you what's happening with the illegal aliens. I've told you what's happening with the emails. I've told you the Islamo-fascists are cutting off heads in the Middle East. I told you that tens of thousands of Obama's children from Central America are being brought in by the government instead of flown home. I've called the criminals at the IRS stone gangsters. They're just like stone gangsters. They're just like the Valachi papers. Watching these people at the IRS is like watching the Valachi papers with a better accent. It's like the Valachi papers without a vowel on their last name. That's all it is. It's nothing different than the Valachi papers. This country has been taken over by the equivalent of organized criminals. There's no other way to put it. The five of the terrorists that Obama traded for Bergdahl, or whatever his name was, you forgot that already. One scandal wipes away the scandal before it, which is exactly the plan of cloven-hoofed advisors to Obama. It's the cloven-hoofed theory of infiltrating and dominating a nation. The cloven-hoofed theory. WABC, Jason, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Good afternoon. You know, it's interesting that people are taking issue about you talking about yourself. I mean, I would imagine you more like the American dream. You know, as a grandchild of Holocaust survivors, I'd also agree with you on your position of immigration. Yes, we need to bring in people from different countries. But did America suddenly, after World War II, make everything in German and in Yiddish, so everything should be appeased and nice for the people coming in? No. My grandfather and others like him came to America. They learned English. They built factories. They contributed to society. And with that, they grew and helped society continue to grow. They didn't just wait.
Yeah, I don't think that FDR gave the Jews underwear when they arrived at Ellis Island, did they?
I don't think so. And how do we know that they only need briefs, by the way? Maybe they need boxers.
That's right. It could be racist to give them briefs. That could be. You know, we should look into who in this department decided that the immigrants from Guatemala and Honduras want to wear briefs. Maybe that's kind of a little questionable right there.
Michael, I must say I appreciate your show, and unfortunately we only get it 2 hours a day in New York, but I would also like to offer you the opportunity, whenever you come into New York, we should sit down by a Jewish deli with a nice...
Well, all right, thank you very much. I don't eat Jewish deli food. It's the food of my ancestors. It killed them all. Now, that's why I wrote books on health food. Once in a while I'll indulge in it. I can't eat that stuff. I would have been dead and buried by now. These are all extra years to me. Never thought I'd be alive this long. I figured 50 top. A friend came over to visit me Saturday morning. We walked our dogs. He got a dog because of my dog. He's allergic. He never thought he could have a dog. And then he said, oh, you mean poodles don't cause allergies? No. They're hypoallergenic. Their hair is fur. I mean, their fur is hair, not fur. And so he got a dog, and he loves the dog. It was years later, so we took our dogs out for the day. It was kind of fun, two guys with dogs. But he also said these are extra years for him. He never thought he'd live past 50. So each day to me, I don't get up and say, thank God for the extra day. I get up every day and say, thank God every morning for that I'm alive at all. Every morning, I actually, in my own way, I pray. I don't get like six times a day to Mecca kind of thing. But to me, it's more than six times a day. Why only six times a day? I mean, you got to give the Muslims credit. If they pray to Mecca six times a day to acknowledge God's existence, you got to give them credit for that. But I don't just pray six times a day. Virtually every breath I take, I acknowledge God's existence. Because he can turn the lights out any second. You have any idea how miraculous your life is? Do you have any idea how miraculous it is to get up every day in the morning? You should thank God in the morning that you got up instead of complaining. Instead of saying, ugh, I can't go to work, I don't feel good. You have to understand what the option was. You could have grabbed your chest and had a heart attack. You could have had a stroke in bed. Your family could have found you bleeding in bed with a cerebral stroke. But you got up, so what are you complaining about? I mean, do you want to live or you don't want to live? If you want to live, then live. That's how I see it. And why I fight is another reason. Why do I fight such a cruel, corrupt government as this with such great personal risk? You think I don't? You think I'm stupid? You think I don't know how vicious this government is? Let me tell you something else. Do you know that every phone call I make, people say to me, shh, maybe we shouldn't say that. You know what I say? Hey, listen, NSA, drop dead. Whoever you are listening to me, I hope to God you get killed in a car crash. Because one day, you little jerk, you listening to me on this phone, one of these days you're going to be tried for crimes against humanity for what you're doing to this country. And it's usually some young college kid hired by the NSA, a little Nazi piece of garbage, just came out of college, gets hired by the NSA to listen in on your conversation and mine, and they think they're doing something good, they should be tried for crimes. And if I ever had the power, which I never will have, everybody who ever spied on an innocent America would go to prison. And I want you to understand that if 10 million of you cursed the spies who were listening in on your phone conversations, cursed them on the phone, tell them to drop dead and hope that they get a disease, their whole family should get a disease, I can guarantee you the effect would be like an earthquake on these Nazis' ears. But I do it, like a fool maybe. But I can't be the only one cursing them. You ought to curse them. So now, you see, I just showed you something. I just told you what I do in my personal life to fight the NSA. Well, it was about me, wasn't it? You could say it was narcissistic. It wasn't news. It didn't meet the news test. It wasn't NPR with Vivaldi music. I gave you a plan. I told you that if millions of you started cursing the spies that Obama has sicked on you, you could change the course of human history. You could stop these pieces. These, I have no words for them because they're Nazis. They're communist Nazis. They're the same thing. Say, how can you mix communist with Nazi? National socialism. Hitler was a socialist. Make no mistake about it. I taught you that 10 years ago. Hitler, when I first said it, I had people attack me. I was a local host, which is longer than 10 years ago. I said, Nazi, look what it means, national socialism. They didn't know what it meant. Hitler was a socialist. You don't know that. You don't want to accept the fact that he was a left-wing fanatic. You know, you want to immediately turn him into a right-wing fanatic? What's the difference what you call him? He was a socialist. His party was a socialist party. Government control of everything from cradle to grave, centralized power, no checks and balances. Sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Because that's the direction we're going in under the dictatorship that we're living in, the nascent dictatorship. I watched some footage on the History Channel about the Holocaust and how when the soldiers came to Dachau, they were shocked. Their hearts almost broke. They couldn't believe what they saw. The piles of corpses. I mean, you watch it again and again. You can't believe that people would do this to other people. And you can't even believe that they're human beings that are there. But you look at the faces of the people in the stack of dead, and it leaves a chill down your spine. And then you realize something. It's going on right now in the Middle East. The Islamo-Nazis who are sweeping across the Sunni Triangle into Jordan, testing the borders of Saudi Arabia, they are the Nazis of today. Only they're even more virulent and they're more dangerous. Instead of having Mein Kampf, they use their holy book. Do you know that they're giving out the Quran at checkpoints in the cities that they dominate and kill in? Do you know that they make people take a copy of the Quran at a checkpoint? Do you have any idea what's going on? Do you have any idea it's a holy war? No, you don't, because your communist atheist media doesn't want you to wake up for 1 second to A, what they're doing to you on the southern border and what these Islamo-fascists are doing to the Middle East. No, you don't want to understand that. So when the U.S. soldiers came into Dachau, the death camp, and they saw the bodies, they were shocked, right? So they forced the townsfolk, who said they didn't know what was going on, to march through the death camps and take a look at the dead people that were still there in the ovens. And then they forced these people to bury them, the ones that were still there, the bodies that were still there. And what's ironic about it is Dachau voted against Hitler. The people of Dachau were very liberal. They hated Hitler, by the way. They hated his regime. They hated his Nazi party. And they were the least supportive, amongst the least supportive communities in Germany. And yet they let it happen. Yet they let it happen. They let the Holocaust happen. Are you letting dictatorship occur in America? Even though you don't support Obama, even though you know that he's a nascent dictator, even though you see what he's doing to America, even though you see the flood of illegal aliens containing many gang members, even though you see with your own eyes the gangsterism of the IRS, even though you see the trade of Bergdorf of five terrorists has another nefarious meaning, even though you see it all, what are you doing about it? Do you curse the NSA listening in to your phone conversation? You tell them to die? Do you tell them they're going to go to jail one day? Do you scare the children that were hired by Obama from Harvard to listen in on your conversations? Because you're not acting well if you're not doing that. I want you to understand you have the power. We run this country. We own this country. They're interlopers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is not Fox News. It's the Savage Nation. 855-407-282, michaelsavage.com. We got time only for one quick call. Vivian, KKOB, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I was going to say there's a big difference between confidence and narcissism, and you're not narcissistic, and I was going to say I'd love to hear about your accomplishments. I learned from them. They're fascinating. You've done a heck of a lot in life and still are. Very.
Well, that's the thing is, if I'm reading from a New Yorker interview with me in 2009, which most people haven't read, is that narcissistic or am I trying to inform people about an interview? If I read an interview from Playboy magazine done on me in 2010, is that because I'm trying to boast about myself or is it because I'm trying to inform the people as to how they twist everything I say into something I didn't say? So, you know, you could take anything and turn it into narcissism and put a person down like that woman Jan tried to do, which is why I got angry at her.
Absolutely. But you're pointing out, you know, the corrupt so-called journalism there.
That's right. That's exactly right. It wasn't out of the blue that I picked up the Playboy magazine and read the interview with me. I was trying to make a point, and I want to thank you for that call. Now, look, the biggest story of the day is what's going on the southern border. And the reason they're not covering it on Fox News is because Murdoch is behind Amnesty. And the reason I know Murdoch is behind Amnesty, because the fix is in. The reason I suspect that, he had dinner with Valerie Jarrett the other night. And that's why you almost never hear them talking about it or showing the pictures of the gang-tattooed members coming over the border. But look at the Drudge Report. Look at the order for 42,000 pair of men's underwear by Department of Homeland Invasion. Department of Homeland Invasion is ordering 42,000 pair of men's underwear. For who, the women and children?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
That should happen as soon as possible.
This country is ready. This country is ready for anyone who can do the job.
That's Michelle Obama saying that the U.S. needs a female president as soon as possible. Would she be saying that if it was Sarah Palin running for office, I wonder? What she means is the U.S. needs a Marxist female president. Emphasis on the word Marxist. I mean, I don't care if the person was AC/DC or Foot Power, frankly, as long as they were let's say American-oriented, nationalistic, would protect our borders, language, and culture. I don't care if it's a woman, a man, or someone with something in between. What do you mean a woman? Do you understand how absurd that is to say that the country needs a woman president, a female president? You understand how absurd the First Lady sounds to make a statement like that? What do you mean we need it? You mean a dummy as a female would be good? A monster female would be good? A crazy female would be good? What is she talking about? Do you understand that any woman who votes for a president because she's not a man indicates that the woman is stupid? If a woman says to you, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, then the woman is a dummy. Divorce her immediately, or if she's a girlfriend, drop her immediately. You'll never get along with this woman. There's no fixing her. The relationship's finished. 855-407-282 is the phone number. One side note to the IRS commissioner, the former commissioner, John Koskinen, and a lot's been said about him on other radio shows, but here's something that everyone missed. Being a trained researcher, I did some research on John Koskinen, who is the 48th IRS commissioner, and you probably heard all of this about him, but what I'm going to tell you, you didn't hear. Did you know that he was formerly non-executive chairman of Freddie Mac? From September 08 to December 2011, you remember Freddie Mac? Remember Freddie May? Remember the housing meltdown that brought us Obama? He was the non-executive chairman of Freddie Mac from 08 to 2011. You remember the housing crisis? On April 23rd, 2009, He became the principal financial officer at Freddie Mac after the death of Freddie Mac's acting CFO. Did you know that? In August of 2009, with the hiring of a new CEO, he returned to his position as non-executive chairman of the board of Freddie Mac. Now, why should that matter to you? Well, it should matter to you because it's so seamlessly interconnected to the string pullers who gave us Obama. Because I have said in several of my books that the housing crisis was manufactured by the government. The housing crash was manufactured by the government. And as a result, we saw what happened in this country. People went for an unknown senator who promised hope and change and honesty. And look what we got instead. We got the most dysfunctional, dishonest, etc. government in American history. And, of course, the most corrupt in American history. And I stand by those words. So while we're focused on the IRS and this man, we're ignoring the border swarm and the underwear crisis. Why would the Department of Homeland Security put out an order to buy men's underwear, some of it in very large size, if they're all little children? I have the order in front of me. The DHS Immigration and Customs Enforcement requires the following items, purchase description determined by line item, to the following. 600 dozen medium men's briefs, 100% cotton. And then you go down to the bottom, and I'm not making this up, 4X large per dozen, 400 dozen. 5X large per dozen, 300 dozen. 6X large per dozen, 200 dozen of these. That's for men's underwear by a law enforcement agency. Instead of sending them home, instead of flying them home, instead of busing them home, instead of putting them on a train home, they're giving them underwear and sending them around America. Do you understand what can be at stake here? By the way, these pairs of underwear are destined for El Paso, Texas. This would be humorous if we were in a state where it was humorous, but it's frightening. And what I want to point out here is that as important as the IRS scandal is and as much fun as you're having watching that arrogant man from the IRS basically spit on the Republicans questioning him, or the woman from the IRS sneering at the Republicans, you're having a good time, but you're ignoring the border swarm and the underwear crisis at the border. And that's exactly how Axelrod wants it. He floods you with one crisis after another. And so while the Republicans are rightly outraged at the IRS scandal and the missing emails, guess what's going on? They're flooding America with illegal aliens. They're not children. Certainly there are children and women. But there's an awful lot of men involved who need underwear that we're providing. 24,000 pair of underwear for the illegal aliens being brought in by Obama, Holder, and the head of Homeland Security. Why are they bringing them in? It's a very big story. How do you feel about the underwear crisis? How do you feel about ICE soliciting for 24,000 pairs of men's underwear for the illegal immigrants? Does that jive with the lies coming out of the mouths of Obama and his minions that these are just women and children from Guatemala and El Salvador? Is it not odd for you that many of this, this underwear is of large size, large, extra large, large and extra large? Would two-year-old children be wearing extra large men's, 100% cotton men's briefs? See, they have to have 100% cotton because nothing is too good for an illegal alien. Now, it may be that your uncle waited at the VA for several years to get some treatment and they wouldn't have given him 100% cotton men's briefs. They probably would have given him something made of polyester. But for an immigrant, oh, it's got to be 100% cotton. And here are the headlines in the Savage Nation. Headlines are, I gave you the headlines already. And the headlines are, we're talking about God and free will. And the headlines are that I want to get some intelligent callers. Now, if you want to hear the news, Murdoch skirts on Fox News, who are all pushing amnesty, will give you all the news and everything else. I mean, that's what you get all day long. They do a good job, but I don't have to copy what they're doing. Otherwise, what's the point of talk radio? If I'm going to just do what they do and just play their sound and ask you for calls, that's not talk radio. How could talk radio devolve into a spinoff of Fox News or CNN or MSNBC? I mean, we're not supposed to be following those networks. We're supposed to be leading those networks. So I don't really know that I have to follow everything they do on television. Oh, Shep Smith is doing this. O'Reilly's doing that. I don't care what they're doing. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you're going to like it. Okay, I touched on Hillary on her wealth comment. I talked about the fact that I think George Bush and Dick Cheney were right to invade Iraq, even if their pretext was false with WMDs. Maybe they had to sell us like babies on a reason to suppress these Islamofascists. But, you know, give them credit. They did institute a certain kind of stability and control into Iraq, right? I don't care that they lied or fudged the data on WMDs. They were correct. Take a look at what was waiting. Now, if you really want to know who was correct, it was Bush 1, which was to weaken Saddam but not kill him, to weaken the Republican Guard but not kill them. And Bush 2 made a huge error in that regard. He knocked them out, and I feared in 05, 06 that it could mean a bigger Iran, meaning a new Persia. Then you got the Border Patrol and this country of ours flying these children and their mothers into distant communities all over America when they should be flying home. I don't want them here. Do you want them here? Why is everyone afraid to say we should be taking care of our veterans first? We should be taking care of America's poor before Honduras's poor. Why is everyone so afraid to stand up and be counted to the illegal children? Why must you carry them on your back? Why? So let's take some callers on the other topics now that I've done the news. And I love the rock and roll. It's making me feel better. In fact, I'm much happier doing the show than I was not doing the show, as it is every day of my life. In fact, without the show, there is no life. I mean, there's a life, yes. Of course there's a life. But it's hard for me. My life's hard. It's not like I'm working in a coal mine or anything like that, but psychologically, I've always had a hard life. I always have. I don't know whether it's me or my upbringing or what happened here and there. I don't really know. To me, life's not easy. It's a hard life. I look back. I told you I don't want to complain right now, but I'm going to go backwards before I can go forwards. As I told you, William Blake wrote that life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards. Remember that line, that great line by William Blake? Life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards. That's a powerful statement. Well, I'm going through something now that very few people get to do. I'm editing my journals, which I've kept religiously since 1963. That's a long time ago. And I'm reading the writings of myself as a young man, where as a young man, I was talking about an audience that would be reading me when I was older. I would even say in my journals, "Dear reader, I know you are reading this years from now, blah, blah, blah." I knew that I'd be read. Now, how did I know that? I was poor. I was not well known. I had no connections whatsoever. I struggled in terrible jobs. And yet somehow deep within me, I knew I had a destiny. And you want to hear something unusual? I have to tell you this. I don't think that radio is my last stop. I don't know what it is. I just think that there's something beyond radio for me, and it's not politics. See, if it were politics, I would have already announced that I'm throwing in and I'm going to run, because this is the greatest season in history to run for office. If I wanted to run for office, I'd be running in 2014. There's going to be an earthquake at the ballot box. I would easily unseat somebody in a primary. And I could probably beat one of the senators in the state of California. They're so despised. They are so corrupt. They are so despised I could run for office and beat one of them. I'm pretty sure of that. I come very close to beating them. Now, they do control the unions and the illegal vote. That's a problem. But I call the UN in to inspect the polling boxes. I would demand that the UN inspect our vote here in California to put an end to this manipulation of our vote, where the people have no vote whatsoever. It's run by the SEIU and foreign governments. Nevertheless, I'm not running for office. Don't think it's all a preamble. I think I have a destiny beyond radio. I don't know what it is. I just have this constant sense that there's something else. Now, I began as a biologist. I was a plant collector. I was an ethnobotanist when it was rather an unknown field in the late 60s, 70s, 80s. I stopped in the mid-80s. I was an ethnobotanist, and I traveled to some remote regions in the South Pacific. I collected many plants. My collections are in 7 different herbaria around the world. I never talk about that. Now, people say, well, look, I had an old friend come over Saturday, and he said, have you ever thought about going back to the islands and continuing your plant collections now that you sort of have the time and the money? I said, no, I never do. That was a phase of my life. I said I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy one minute of it. I actually hated being in those islands. I felt alienated. I couldn't I couldn't tell you. People think it's romantic to be on an island in the South Pacific collecting plants, living in villages. It's horrible. The deprivation was overwhelming. It was so alienating, it was hard to believe. You know, ask any anthropologist if they enjoyed being in the field. I don't see how they do. You're not supposed to enjoy yourself. You're not there for fun. The people living there are not part of your Disneyland. In fact, if you're having a good time as an anthropologist, you're not doing your job. You're not there to enjoy yourself on their backs. No, you're supposed to be an outsider looking in. And the more you enjoy yourself, the more you're not there. You're not there as a visitor. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, as we swing into the end of hour number three today on the Savage Nation, the 24th of June, 2014, we're covering all the topics of the day. We found out that the Department of Homeland Security plotted the surge of illegal kids from Central America. Many of these kids need large underwear, by the way. You think that's a joke, huh? They're not all kids. They just put out an order for 24,000 pairs of large underwear. That's not for two-year-olds. Why is Obama bringing in hardened teenagers from gang-ridden countries? You should be very scared indeed. You should be very scared indeed. Very, very scared indeed. Now, on a lighter note, Gary Oldman, the fine actor, is being criticized because of things that he said about Hollywood and about various and sundry. And he said Hollywood is run by Jews. Now, people are writing things such as, would you say Christians run the computer business because Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and other CEOs in the tech world are by and large Christian? Then why would you say Jews run Hollywood? Do Jews all over the world have a meeting to decide what movie to make next or which actors to hire? Does the Jewish guy who lives down the street get a vote in how Hollywood runs things? Does he get sent a share of the profits from some studio? How ridiculous. And someone writes, Hollywood isn't necessarily run by Jews, but it is run by leftists. Many of them are Jewish. Many of them are Gentiles, but they're all leftists. That's interesting, isn't it? That is very interesting. That it's a very interesting topic. And, of course, the guy Sam Rubin, who apparently ran the segment about Gary Oldman, you know, on his television show, right? I think it's his television show. That's where it appeared. And such like, Gary Oldman blasts liberal Hollywood, defends Mel Gibson and Alec Baldwin. Gary Oldman has blasted Hollywood for what he perceives as a double standard, asserting that Bill and John can get away with politically stupid humor while others like Mel Gibson and Alec Baldwin cannot. It's in an interview with the July-August issue of Playboy. The most explosive part of the interview includes attacks on Mara Stewart and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, following his declaration that political correctness is garbage. Well, you get the picture. He's saying things that we all say every day here on the Savage Nation. 855-400-728. Please go to michaelsavage.com and understand what we're talking about. And you'll see where I stand on this issue. And hypocrisy is everywhere in Hollywood. The Playboy article about Oldman is interesting because they did a Playboy article about Savage a few years ago, and they try to savage me. Of course, they couldn't get away with it because I'm a bigger savage than they are. The issue is, Oldman's saying that the left-wing fanatics get a free pass because many on the left use political correctness as a weapon against those they disagree with, which, of course, is the bias we're all talking about, the bias you have to worry about on a daily basis. Meanwhile, the border mess is a real mess. It's an underwear crisis now. They need 42,000 pairs of underwear urgently. I'm not making this up. DHS looks to buy men's underwear, some of it very large. And this is not a joke, is it? This is not a joke, is it? They're looking for thousands of pairs of men's briefs from size medium to 6X large. Now, why would they need 6X large? Why would they need 6X large for babies? Well, they're not for babies. They're for the gang members that Obama's bringing in over the border. You say that's too strong. That's not true. How much more has to happen before you dumb sheeple wake up? He's bringing in an army. He's a revolutionary. You want me to go a step further? I'll go 100 steps further. I wish my book were available, but it's not for a few more months. Stop the coming civil war. Obama, in front of your nose, is bringing in an army of hardened gangbangers, hidden amongst the babies and the mothers. But you're so stupid that you're concerned about a ball in Brazil. I've got nothing more to say. I'm more concerned about the boys in Brazil than the ball in Brazil. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.